Here's Ed Taylor with today's episode of Lead to Serve, a leadership podcast.
Welcome again to episode number 304 on the Lead to Serve podcast. My name is Ed Taylor. I'm the pastor here at Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. More information on our church. You want to connect with us, you can download our free app. That's the best way. We communicate a lot through our app, but you can also go to our website, calvaryco.church, calvaryco.church. To download or find the app, just put my name in the search bar, Ed Taylor, of your app store, and it should pop up. And we use that extensively. And Lead to Serve podcast is an outreach ministry of Abounding Grace Ministries here at Calvary, part of our radio broadcasts and all the things that we're doing. And I'm glad that you've connected with us. We're on the fourth episode of season three, and it's just so good to be together. You know, remember, as you're driving around or you're jogging or on the treadmill, however you're listening to this podcast, in my mind, it's like we're sitting together, talking about the things of the Lord, talking about ministry. And the podcast is built upon how we do discipleship here in our staff meetings. So these are all topics that we've talked about with our staff, our team, with our pastors, as we're raising up new people. These are the things that we think we should talk about. And just talk about them. I don't know that there's a perfect, specific answer for everything that we talk about, but talking it out, letting the Holy Spirit lead us. Even as you're listening and you might have something to add, or you might agree or disagree, I'd love to hear your feedback. You can always text me at 720-608-0012, or you can email me at ed@edtaylor.org. You can go to my website. I write there a lot on grief and ministry as well, edtaylor.org. And we can dialogue over this. If I can serve you in any way or the team here, we'd love to. But this is the podcast where we want to learn how to serve better biblically. What's the biblical model? What are the instructions from God's word when it comes to service? Because the better we learn to serve, the better we will lead. Season three, the roadmap for season three is a book that we just published called Sure and Steady, Learning and Growing in Pastoral Ministry. I've introduced it in previous episodes, but it's a series of small little paragraphs that are designed to be discussion starters along with supporting scriptures on different topics that will make you a better leader, a better servant. And in particular, the subtitle of it is Learning and Growing in Pastoral Ministry. So there is a focus for pastors, assistant pastors, lay leaders, elders, but the application is for everyone. And that's how we're, so you might hear the word pastor as I share some of the book with you and talk through, but it's really for leaders and servants. I mean, what's true for pastors is true for anyone else. We want to be men and women above reproach, of integrity, character, men and women of prayer, devotional life, those things that we've learned. And I know that some of them you're like, well, Ed, I already know this. Well, let it be a reminder, or let it be a tool you share with someone else as you're raising up people and growing in grace. Today, I think that we're only going to cover one topic, and that is the topic of personal sacrifice. Personal sacrifice, with a specific emphasis on this. God is never calling you into ministry to sacrifice your family or your children. It's not God's will for you to sacrifice your family and children on the altar of ministry. Like ministry becomes something instead, and something that you aspire to instead of something the Holy Spirit does through you. And I want to spend some time. This is such an important topic that you need to understand. First of all, you can do both, right? You can serve God and have a wonderful, flowing, growing, flourishing family. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we have already read through in a previous podcast episode, 1 Timothy chapter 3, where an overseer, an episkopos, that's the Greek word there, has to rule his own house well. A lot of times you would look at that and say, somehow you're heavy-handed, your kids never get in trouble, everything's perfect. I don't believe that's at all what Timothy, the Holy Spirit through Paul to Timothy was saying. I believe that what Paul was telling Timothy is that a test for a man or woman in ministry is how well do they oversee their home? because if they don't know how to oversee their home, they will never be able to oversee the church. And so the conclusion we can bring from that, and think about it as you're considering this, ministry in the church comes from the home and then back into the home. And the priority is to seek first the kingdom of God, and then love your wife, love your husband, care for your kids. Then you step into being used by God. You are a ministry. You have a ministry at home. It's not the only thing, but it's a big part of your life. Your home must be, it's like a microcosm of the church. It is the church. Your home is the church. Now, it doesn't mean you have an altar set up and you do, you know, that like you have Bible studies where you stand up there in a pulpit. We don't want to exaggerate this, but how you live in your life, how you live your life in your home is so important. And ministry now will involve personal sacrifice. You need to know that ahead of time. As a born-again believer, a born-again woman, a born-again man, your life will be a life of personal sacrifice. I know that's hard to hear in a world that's filled with comfort and ease, but the pastor, the spiritual leader, the servant of God lives a life of personal sacrifice, regularly dying to himself, to herself, for the sake of others. That is it. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. It says, "Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost?'" Mark that phrase, verse 28, count the cost. There is a cost in following Jesus Christ, a cost of personal self-sacrifice. He says, if you're going to build a tower, don't you sit down first, count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he's laid the foundation is not able to finish. All who see it begin to mock him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first to consider whether he's able? Whether he's able, you got to sit down and consider. Part of counting the cost is sitting down whether you are able with 10,000 to meet him who comes with 20,000, or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Before you try to explain it away, just receive it. Let's not explain away the depth of personal sacrifice that comes in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It's even hard sometimes, is it not, to consider it sacrifice? I immediately begin to think of what Jesus saved me out of, what my life was prior to knowing him. And everything in my life right now is not sacrifice, it's offering. It is an offering of worship. It is an offering of appreciation. God has initiated his grace in my life, and I respond by giving him my life. The problem is that my selfishness, Ed Taylor, often rears its ugly head. And I fail to count the cost. I fail to prioritize Jesus. And I don't even mean on a list or setting it all up. I just mean in my heart, being so grateful, filtering everything through him and to him and from him. That all-in attitude comes and goes, unfortunately, in my life. God is very gracious. You know, he's always with me, never leaves or forsakes me, always reminds me of his love and his grace and draws me back with his cords of love. But this is a big problem for us. We don't count the cost. Whenever someone comes and sits in my office and they're going to be joining our team, especially those of, that will be taking up the tithes and offerings, you know, someone, we would call that joining our staff. But, you know, even if we didn't have a staff, any high level leader, we will sit down and talk. And one of the questions that I'll ask is, have you counted the cost? And almost everyone does. And I believe them. up to the point where they're at. But counting the cost is continual. And he uses the illustration of war, and battle, and building. Great pictures of ministry, that as you place Jesus as the highest priority, understand you're going to be building and battling. And that's true, isn't it? Jesus, so here's the essence of it, and this is a reminder to us, even the Lord just ministering to my heart right now. This is it. You ready? This is the bottom line of what God is drawing out from us right now. Jesus is calling for a complete, wholehearted commitment. There's a lot of multitudes around him, a lot of people wanting to serve, wanting a lot of people that, I want to be in ministry, I want to serve, I want to follow you. And Jesus, now that he's got their attention, he's like, look, before you follow me, before you decide to attach yourself to me, you need to think more carefully of what it means to follow me. And here's the thing. You need to think more carefully about what it means to serve in the capacity that God has called you to serve. Your life will be one of regularly dying to yourself for the sake of others. And one way you'll know that your flesh is rubbing up against it is something, you know, your attitude is like, am I always the one? Yes. Here's another one. Where's everybody at? Why am I doing this alone? Yes. Well, where is all the help? They said that they would be here and now they're not. Yes. And God is drawing it. God's saying, you're responsible for you. So step into what I've called you and count the cost. There is a cost to serving in ministry. It's important, though, in the cost that you know that God doesn't call you to personal harm or to sacrifice your family on the altar of ministry. But the ministry will cost you. As we learned earlier, the balance is just never going to be found. There's always going to be a cost. If you do A, you're not going to be able to do B at the same time. So there's just going to be a cost. There's going to be a price to pay. There's going to be loss of sleep. There's going to be missing a baseball game every now and then, or you know, one of your kids' baseball games, or not doing homework with them, or there will be a cost involved. But if you think about it, sometimes that cost is involved at work too. Work would say, you know, you got to have mandatory overtime. Ugh, all right. Yeah, we're not going to release you. Oh, okay. I worked at a company where if your relief didn't come in, you had to work a double automatically. You couldn't leave. It was an ambulance company. If you had to work a double, you had to work a double. And I'd have to call my wife and say, my relief didn't come in. They called in sick. I can't get anybody to come in and I won't be able to come home. I've got to stay here another 8-12 hours. And life is like that, but ministry is like that. Ministry is full of personal sacrifice. Ministry is filled with the willing surrender of my rights and privileges to Jesus. It's a choice to die to myself daily. I'm in ministry to serve Jesus and to serve, love, and help others. So be careful when you start talking about what you deserve, because God has given us grace and not what we deserve. Isn't that great? A big part of serving Jesus is making yourself available. You know, I think, you know, when you think about it, there are four things that we're looking for in every, in the stages of serving God. A spiritual person, faithful, available, and teachable. And really what we're learning throughout the season of the podcast is that. I want to be spiritual. I want to be faithful. I want to be available. Being available to Jesus, being available to your family, being available to the congregation, being available to serve alongside your pastor. You can't excel in helping unless you're there physically, emotionally, spiritually, committed. You know, as an assistant pastor, as an elder, as a servant, your role is to serve and help in any particular, in the particular fellowship, the congregation you're in. And just keep in mind what the ministry needs above your own desires. If you're not there, somebody's going to have to take care of it. So make sure that you have somebody to take care of it, or better yet, want to be there, want to be with the people, want to fulfill your calling like it was in the beginning, like it was in the beginning. That you're not, it's not drudgery. Ask for that infilling of the Holy Spirit again. Remember there are times when the ministry is just so exciting, but most of the time it's very hard. It's very hard. We can become so self-absorbed that we forget the Lord, that we forget the people, that we forget our pastor that we're serving. Ministry doesn't stop just because we're not there, because we're enjoying a vacation or we have some time off. We need to be considerate of those that we serve alongside of. And one of the emphases that I like is to be like-minded. We need to be like-minded with one another, like-minded with our pastor and the philosophy of ministry at our local church. We want to be like-minded so that we're serving, you know, equal-souled is where the essence of that word in the Greek. We want to be one-souled. We're not going to always see everything eye-to-eye, you know, every 100% of the time, but generally, we're going to see things the same way. Generally, we're going to fight together. Generally, we're going to stand back-to-back. Paul would say to the Philippians in chapter 2, "Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, and let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but for the interests of others." Count the cost, friend. Ephesians 5, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God." 2 Timothy 2:3, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, because no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." So there is a personal sacrifice. So let's talk a little bit before we end today about sacrificing your family. We can all think of story after story after story where pastors and leaders have been faithful in their church teaching, but neglected their family. That's not biblical. You do not have permission to neglect your family. That is not the will of God for your life. You can't neglect them. Well, it's for the Lord. No, it's neglecting your family is not for the Lord. And let's be clear on the definition of neglect. It says to give little attention or respect to. Neglect from Merriam-Webster also is to disregard and to leave unattended or undone. You cannot neglect your family. Neither can you neglect the ministry of the church and the ministry God's entrusted to you. So what happens? Well, we pray. We pray and say, "Lord, help me to serve my family, to be a good husband, to be a good wife, to be a good child that's living at home, to love my wife as Christ loved the church, to submit to my husband as unto the Lord, to obey my parents, for this is the will of God, and not to neglect my home, not to give little attention or respect to." I know this was a challenge for me in the early days of ministry because I didn't quite understand it. That might be where you are right now, where, you know, it wasn't just physically present, but it was also mentally and just being present. And I do have some pictures of my life in the early days where I would take my kids to the park. You know, perhaps it was a day off. I'd take my kids to the park. It was later in the evening. And I have mental pictures. I have a memory. Maybe you do too. I have a memory of like a photographic memory. So I have images of pushing my kids in the swing set on the phone. So I'm pushing my kids in the swing set, and I am also at the same time talking on the phone, taking care of some ministry matter or something. And while I was there enjoying them on the swings, I wasn't really there. I wasn't talking to them. Sure, I was pushing them and I was there for them. And if they fell, I could run at rush, but there was an added benefit of being there and not neglecting them or giving little attention, because I was giving attention to the phone call while my kids were on the slide or on the swing, or as you let them play, and I was just on there, you know, taking care of stuff that I should have been with my kids. And the Lord did correct that in my life, and I'm grateful for that. I even have that now. I remember it was a bad habit of mine where I would, you know, be doing something on my computer. Marie would walk in, she'd say something. I'd go, "What, honey?" He says, you're not listening to me. I said, I am listening to you. And we'd have that kind of argument, right? I'm sure perhaps some of you have had that argument too. And then one day she walked into my office and she just didn't say a word. She went right to my laptop and closed it right in front of me on my desk. She says, I got something to say to you and I want you to pay attention to me. And we had that discussion. Oh, why are you closing my laptop? I'm doing something. But she explained to me, Ed, whenever your laptop is open, you don't pay attention to me. And now I don't have that anymore. If she comes in, I put my laptop down. Anybody comes in, I put my laptop down. I give them my full attention. Why? Because I don't want to neglect. I want to give my kids their full attention. I want to give my wife her full attention. I want to give the church the full attention. And I want to count the cost. I want to be present. And that's what the Lord wants for you. He wants you to be present. He wants you to be faithful where you are. And it is important that you not sacrifice your family on the altar of ministry. Your ministry is at home. I mean, really, your ministry is to seek the Lord first. But your ministry starts at home. And then from a strong home, again, not a perfect home, not a perfect marriage, not perfect kids, but one that's saturated with the love of God, one that's saturated with the peace of God, one that's saturated with a family that says, we are seeking the Lord. And I can say that there's a distinct difference in my family after we were born again compared to before. And over the years, the Lord has shown me, even with the great demands placed upon me, that I can give my best to my family. And I can give my best to my church family, and I can give my best if I'm invited to teach somewhere or be at another church. I can give my best knowing that God will have me where I need to be, and I can be faithful to Him. But don't think that God wants you to serve Him so much at the church that you neglect your family. Please don't neglect your family. Please look to your family and love them and serve them. And another thing that you can do is take them along with you. Take them along with you. You know, at age-appropriate times, they could even be involved in some of what you're doing. Have them enjoy what you want to go down and feed the homeless. Take them with you. You have an opportunity to teach a Bible study. Have them sit there and take kid notes. You know, again, age-appropriate. But I just felt like it was important as you're thinking about personal sacrifice. Look, as much as important as the family is, like your service unto the Lord is equally important. Jesus said He's first, right? He's first. That there's some challenging words right there in Luke. Like, you want to follow me? You got to understand, I get complete commitment from you. That's it. Complete commitment. And He places it above brother, father, mother, marriage. Complete commitment. Now, of course, a complete commitment to Jesus is going to lead to care and concern for your family. But you're not going to, you'll be divided if you don't count the cost. You'll be divided if you don't understand the commitment level. You'll be divided. And you don't want to neglect the church for your family. You don't want to neglect your family for the church. So what? You can make this a prayer point. And you can talk with those that are in leadership with you to help you sort out how to better serve the Lord by ministering to your family and ministering at church and whatever else the Lord is calling you to do. But there is personal sacrifice. And I'll just end with this because we're almost out of time. What I found over the years is that men and women will sacrifice the church. Again, the church. I don't mean the organization or I mean the church, the people, because they didn't manage their home well. And so they'll neglect people. It's not God's will for us to neglect people either. It's not God's will for us to ignore the lost. It's not God's will for us to say, oh, well, you know, I've got this and I can't do that. I made a commitment. And remember the personal integrity part? If you said yes, and then, oh, no, I can't do that. Well, we were depending on you. Yeah, but, you know, such and such and so. And it is challenging, but it's not as challenging as you think, because God will lead you to be where you are when you need to be there. He will bless you when you're on your way. He will bless you when you're there. He will bless. And yeah, it's personal sacrifice. You'll be tired. You know, a lot of time will be invested in people's lives and you wonder, does this even matter? Yes, yes, yes. So on this personal sacrifice, I just want to encourage you. The Lord loves you. He's using you greatly. I know it's challenging and hard. We're still in the human bodies. We're in, you know, we've got to deal with our flesh. We've got to deal with the world. We've got to deal with the devil. We've got to handle this, you know, how do I care for work? How do I care for home? How do I care for church? How do I care for myself? It could be overwhelming, except as we abide in Christ, the Father is the gardener. He's taking care of the vine. We're in the vine. And because he loves us, he's taking good care of us. And he will lead and guide us. He'll pick us up when we fall. Though a man falls seven times, he'll rise again. But it's enough to say that, yes, serving God's going to cost you. So count the cost and then go for it by faith. If you want to connect with me, email me, ed@edtaylor.org. Text me, 720-608-0012. I'd love to hear from you. Leave a review wherever you get this podcast. It helps other people see it. Forward it. Send it off on your social media. Share it with your team. Love to hear what the Lord is doing in your life. These are the last days. Let's go for it. Let's run with the vision. Let's surrender ourselves to the goodness and the grace of God. So until next time, this is the Lead to Serve podcast, season 3. And we're making great progress in what the Lord wants to teach us and how we're going to grow in his grace. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Lead to Serve with Pastor Ed Taylor, a leadership podcast from Calvary Church in Aurora, Colorado. If you have a leadership question you want to hear answered on a future Lead to Serve podcast, please email it to pastored@calvaryco.church. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe, rate, or review us on iTunes, and share us with your friends on social media. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on the Lead to Serve podcast.